today's three lessons bring it all together. In Genesis, we are reminded of the one true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are right there in Genesis chapter 1. And God created. And you heard how he created everything that exists. The plants, the animals, the fish, the birds. And then he created Adam and he created Eve. And on that seventh day, he rested. Now, sometimes we're confused about what that word means. What does it mean to rest? We hear stop. In the second reading, we see that God didn't stop. It is highlighted throughout the prophets of the Old Testament that God had a plan. In fact, the Bible tells us that before he created the world, he had a plan. He planned to send his son Jesus. And then Peter stands up and he preaches this marvelous word of God that's given to him. And there he says, this is the plan. The Jesus that you saw, the Jesus that you witnessed, the Jesus that did the miracles and the teachings is the same Jesus you crucified. And God raised him from the dead. And then in the gospel reading, you have Jesus telling his disciples to meet him on this mountain. And that day we call Ascension. And Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father. But before he did, you heard that great commissioning, those instructions that he gave. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So as Christians, we say, yes, we believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we would say, yes, we believe Jesus died for us and rose for us. And through him, we have forgiveness of sins. And the next part we have trouble with. We're not so eager to say, yes, we have work to do. We want to go back to that Sabbath word, rest. You know. And in fact, our culture focuses a lot on retirement. And for us in the United States, retirement is you're supposed to be able to get to do what you want to do. Unless for husbands, the wife says you can't do that. You know, we want to be able to if we like fishing, to go fishing. If we like golf, go golf. If we like woodcraft and that kind of stuff, we want to be able to do what we want to do. But what we have forgotten is how Genesis and Acts and the Great Commission ties what we do and who we are. It puts it all together. In Genesis, we are reminded that God, we are God's people, that God created us. And in the sermon from Peter, we are reminded that God saved us through his Son. And then we are reminded in the Great Commission that we have purpose. We have something to do. And in our life's journey, that may change because when we're little, when we're growing up, elementary, junior high, and high school, we are the forever student growing and learning, and not only in secular things like math and English and science and so forth, but we are to be growing in the Word of God. What does the Ten Commandments have to do with our life, our daily life? What does Jesus have to do with my Monday through Saturday? I know about Sunday. We go to church. But what about the rest of the time? And we continue to grow in the way of the Lord. But the dilemma is what's happening in our world today, and that is there's a disconnect. The God who created is now the God who started it. And it's up to us to finish it. And we've started to merge the sciences, the human thinking, and the human answers to what God has said, and these don't always connect. It's as if we're left on our own. So we read Genesis and we say, and on the seventh day God rested. In other words, he was done and that's it. And no more. And God didn't do one cotton-picking thing until Jesus. And that's not true. God watched over, protected, disciplined at times his people. And all throughout that journey in the nation of Israel, and for the whole communities around, the people knew that there was a God. They just didn't always believe in the one true God. And when God didn't do it their way, the people of Israel rebelled. And so for 400 years, there was no prophet until the time of Christ. God wasn't resting in the sense of God stopped. God was ever present, biding patience out of love for his plan to be revealed. And then you have the Annunciation to Mary. Mary is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the birth. You have everything that we call Christmas and Epiphany. And then you have a kind of a quiet time until Jesus is 30. And then he begins his 3 years of public ministry. And people went, wow, there is a God. And let's see what we can get this God to do. And at times it's like they wanted him like Herod. Remember Herod when Jesus was on trial? Okay, show us a trick. Show us a miracle. You know, a miracle on demand is not what God is about. And so Jesus showed miracles and teaching and love and compassion. And he said, you have heard it of old, but I say to you this day, and he tries to bring the people back to the truth from God, the truth of God. And then his suffering, death, and resurrection. Remember Peter? He didn't like that plan over my dead body. That's the kind of language he had. And Jesus said, you do not have in mind the things of God. You know, get behind me, Satan. And so Jesus now unfolds this, and he says, go into all the world. And the only way that we're able to do that is God is still God. Think about it. We have and believe in the one true God. Everything else is fake. The one true God has sent his Son. The one true God died for us, the Son, Jesus Christ. The one true God, the Holy Spirit, came on Pentecost, and he's still working through the Word, water in the Word. He's still creating faith in our hearts so we believe in the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament. It is the one true God that has not stopped. He is not slumbering. He is not in his heavenly recliner, sleeping, taking a nap, you know. He isn't trying to answer that philosophical question, does God snore? You know, he is watching over us, never-ending patience, guiding, teaching, and leading. And he's doing it for us for a purpose, that you and I, wherever we are planted, and you are here today, wherever we are situated, that we live as God's people. That we teach it to our children, that we pass it on from generation to generation, that we speak God's words of wisdom. And I think we've lost that sense of purpose. And I think one of the dilemmas is so many people say, I believe in God, but God's way off at a distance. God isn't here, and God isn't now. God is at rest. When God rested on the seventh day, it didn't mean he rested like a retirement, never to do anything again. It means he simply stopped creating the something out of nothing. But he continued to oversee his creation. He continued to see the order of creation. He continued to oversee and watch and guide his people. You and I are called living stones. We're called the children of God, the people of God. There's many descriptors of us, but it's not separated from God. So the God that we confess, the God that we believe in, is the God that is present. And the God that is present is empowering us to do a mission, and that is to speak his truth in a world of darkness. But the world has convinced us. Remember the two things you aren't supposed to talk about at the dinner table? One is politics, and the other one is religion, because they always seem to start a fight. And so now we have bought into, yes, I believe in God, but I also believe in being quiet. I also believe in not praying in public. I also believe in, and I also, because this is what our lifestyle is. And we are reminded today in this Trinity Sunday, and we are reminded of it every Sunday, that we have a mission to live for and because of Christ. Our life is never separated from God. Our new life is in Christ. Our eternal life is in Christ. When I die, I go to Christ. We are all connected to God. So why is our lifestyle so disconnected? We have our Sunday language, and then we have the language we use out in the community or in our home. We have our Sunday behavior, and then there's the things we joke about, tease, and say out in the world. We have our Sunday Bible discussion, and then there's the things of Facebook and Twitter and everything else. And I'll tell you what, a lot of that is not Christian, but it's written by people who say, I believe. Trinity Sunday is to bring us back to the focus of who God is and who we are in God. And it starts with creation. I believe God created. And it goes through our redemption. I believe Jesus Christ died and rose for me. And it continues through the ascension. I believe that God has given me a purpose to live for him, to tell of the mighty things that he has done, to share the gospel so that others may have the true faith, the gift of forgiveness of sins, and the promise of everlasting life. There is no rest for us. There's no retirement from being God's people. Did you know that you're God's child now, and when you die, you are not free to golf? Think about it. You are God's child now, and when you die, you will be serving the Lord, you know, in the heavenly kingdom. And whatever he tells you to do, you will be doing it. We do not get to be pew potatoes in the heavens. And we are not to be pew potatoes now. We have a mission because of the one true God, and we're his people. Amen.